Michael Explains, where I invite you to join the science teaching conversation with me about
optical fiber chemical sensors. I'll do this in a couple of minutes. And so this is a podcast discussing the invention, or basically possible new ideas for optical fiber sensors. And I'll give this off to a couple of mates to have a think about. And just some context, I've got to increase my cognitive powers out of in this cardiac rehab I'm doing, and also optical fiber sensors. Like, there's so many good inventions I have. This is really, you know, at the extreme end. If I'm worrying about trying to commercialize these inventions, it's, you know, it's the end of the earth. I'm not in the right position, so I may as well just share them with it. So let's firstly look at what an optical fiber is. An optical fiber is 125 micron diameter glass tube. And so what's done is there's basically a possibly a 4 centimeter wide optical fiber, and it's pulled down as toffee down to this very fine tube. So if you have ever played with toffee, you'll be able to get the linear molecules to get out. And so glass is heated up so it's just soft enough, and with pressure it's just pulled enough and it pulls out really fine. And in the center of this glass tube, by different processes, you can place metals in the center to create a higher refractive index. And this higher refractive index acts as a very long extended guided lens. So really an optical fiber is a 60 kilometer long guided lens. It's a light guide, and you've got a fiber on the a core on the inside, and you have a cladding on the outside. And it's really basically best treated by wave functions. There is a wave function across of light across the very center, that wave is like an atom. It can have a stable orbit of light in it, and this is a single mode optical fiber. And at the lower index, you can have cladding modes, so that you can launch the light down the core. You can also launch it for a short distance down the cladding. So the core is generally about 10 microns across, and the optical fiber is generally 125 micron across, so it can fit about 8 per millimeter, just roughly. Yeah, or what is it? 8 per millimeter, what I'm thinking. Eight per millimeter roughly across. So that's a millimeter is not a lot. The optical fibers are nice and small. Now, so you can launch light by focusing a laser beam down an optical, the guts of an optical fiber, and you can do things to the core, like soften the intensity of the lens and basically create a mini lens inside the optical fiber. So you can pre-shape the optical fiber to absorb light or enlarge the core and shape it up like that. That's a tech thermally expanded core fiber. And you can dope the core with different metals. So what you do is you have salts of the metal, you start off with a hollow tube, and you can introduce these salts into the very core, and with the glass gas can deposit as small glass particles on the inside, and then you can with vacuum shrink this down such the tube collapses and the core is created in the center. I'm not describing this very well because I want to get, I've only got a short distance now to get home. And so with this we want to make chemical sensors, distributed chemical sensors. And so there's two chemical sensors I want to really get up. There's a catalytic converter in every single car on the planet. Well, yeah, basically now. Unless you've got the one vintage car which produces heaps of smog. And these are little chemical purification factories in everyone's exhaust pipe. And towards the engine is, I think, ruthenium. Section of the first half of the catalytic converter, and what happens is the hot gas hits the ruthenium microparticles, which are encased in as little particles of metal encased on the surface of this how do I describe it? Sort of grid, extended grid, these long tubes. It's like a charge. It's a channel array. And I just have to remember. I can't quite remember the process of it. So the first one is ruthenium, and then the upper. I think it is ruthenium. Oh no, it's rhodium. Rhodium, ruthenium, and then. Up the other end, you have palladium and platinum. And so what happens is the rhodium converts the nitrous oxide to oxygen, and then the palladium on the second half converts that newly found oxygen, so it reharvests oxygen from the exhaust gas, and then burns the remaining gas, catalytically converts the remaining carbon monoxide and carbon monoxide out. So where you were producing smog, nitrous oxide, the nitrous oxide reveals oxygen in the first part of the chamber, and then you convert and produce you produce stuff at the other end. And this is all at high temperature. Now, at the moment, in every single car, there is a heavily, when I say heavy, it weighs a few grams, two oxygen sensors before and after. And yeah, I've just got a really... they've got two chemical sensors before and after. And if your catalytic converter is not working, it... depending on what happens, you'll get oxygen in your exhaust, which is a bad thing. Now, I just really have to... in my head remember what's going on there. But essentially what we want to do is coat the optical fiber with stripes of interspace roughly every tenth of a millimeter, space ribs sections of with rhodium. So it's a known process to coat it with, say, you coat it with, firstly with chrome, and then after the chrome, you coat it with, rhodium stripes. So this is basically producing a temperature, which will be a temperature grating, in the optical fiber. This is a cladding loss grating. So you can actually apply a rhythmic comb to a optical fiber, a long comb to an optical fiber, and get a loss grating. So the light actually transmitted through the optical fiber will, if there's perturbations of the cladding at this rate, which allows coupling terms between the cladding mode and the core mode, if you provide a perturbation to the cladding such that then couples, light will just leak out of the core and for particular frequencies. And this is an optical, this is an optical fiber method of making a fiber detector, which goes in, and it's got some sort of really beautiful advantages for it, because you can have a photonic chemical sensor for your catalytic converter, and essentially this fiber goes in, and you can just hook up your optical fiber to it, and it can detect the efficiency of your catalytic converter, and to a much incredibly, I think, high degree, much more sensitive than the actual current thing, which is an oxygen sensor for an art. I can't quite remember what that's doing. So I can see a lot of advantages for it in terms of being able to construct something which is rather sexy and well put together as a sensor. And so this requires a metallization of the outside of an optical fiber. But then after that, it's really rugged. So all your F-18s and your... I've forgotten what the name, JSF. I can't believe JSF. 20 years ago, I was consulting on the Joint Strike Fighter, whatever it is, stupid project. They still haven't delivered them to the Australian Air Force. I just, what is going on there? But, that's all optical fibers. Optical fiber is, something in terms of making lightweight detectors. Now, in terms of core, I only get a short chance to say this is there's a rare earth called geogondolin, and this is got this. This is a rare earth. You can put it in optical fiber, but it has the property that its temperature drops once you take it out of the magnetic field. And so I don't know if that makes a little bit of sense. You could put a grating in gondolin doped fiber and then put the fiber in a place of fluctuating magnetic field. And I just can't work out the thermodynamics of this. In terms of, you just can't subtract heat out of a situation. At least in terms of being able to detect a sudden change in magnetic field, having a fiber which is non-magnetic, which can then detect magnetic field strength. I don't know quite how that it goes, but that at least is an interesting rare earth to put in an optical fiber and then check its behavior in magnetic fields. And I can't pronounce the optical fiber, that's got some real interesting potential. So it's whack in the center of the F block, but it's got a rogue D block electron. It's rather than actually, it's got 8 unpaired electrons. It's like it's massive. It's got a massive electric magnetic moment. And we know that in glass, the electrons are preserved for it. So this is the entire thing of erbium fluorescence and all that type of stuff. So it's got a huge potential, to be one thing which, interacts, with magnetic field, perhaps in a non-linear way. It's worth having, checking that out. Thanks for listening. podcast, another story comes to a close. It's been a pleasure sharing this moment in time with you. May you discover truly amazing things, understand them, and tell others. Thanks for listening.